from a scheduled election between an open fascist, white supremacist, and woman hater, Donald Trump, and a mass murderer, mass incarcerator, Kamala Harris. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear that about Kamala Harris, but that is what she is, a mass murderer and mass incarcerator. She built her career as a prosecutor, locking people up, particularly black and brown people, fueling this country's genocidal mass incarceration. And she is neck deep in the blood of the Palestinian people as she, along with Joe Biden and the entire U.S. ruling class, give their full backing to Israel's genocide in Gaza. You see, just like Donald Trump, Kamala Harris is part of the problem. And what is the problem? Bob Avakian breaks it down.
It's this system of capitalism imperialism, which Harris serves, which all these politicians have to serve if they want to get in office and stay in office, especially any high office like president. It's this system that is the fundamental cause of all the hell that people are put through, not just in this country, but all over the world. It's this system that needs to be swept away, overthrown through an actual revolution, and replaced by a much better system.
And for all those who still insist that Trump is just so dangerous and so bad that you have to hold your nose and vote for Harris anyway, Trump is dangerous. So what person in the right mind believes that if Harris wins, Donald Trump and his MAGA fascists are just going to peacefully accept it? They are telling you they won't. Not only did they already run a dress rehearsal insurrection on January 6, 2021, not only have they purged the Republican Party of anyone who opposed that, not only are they already working their election interference and whipping up vigilantes to suppress the vote, Trump has literally promised a bloodbath if he loses.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it.
Wake up, people. There is no hiding from the growing danger of all of this. But here's what's even more important to grasp, something that Bob Avakian has identified and is bringing alive on his social media, at Bob Avakian Official. The fact that the rulers are so deeply divided, the fact that the norms of this society are increasingly being shattered, the fact that all this is already and will increasingly be drawing many more people into political life, all this makes revolution more possible. But only if people wake up, get out of the bullshit ways of thinking that have them chained to this system, and get with the RevComs in fighting to make this revolution real. As Bob Avakian has put it,
we don't have to choose between mass murderers and plunderers of people and the environment. We can seize on this rare opportunity to build up the basis for revolution, getting organized now in the thousands, with the basis to win over millions, and go all out to seize on this rare opportunity to make a real emancipating revolution. It's time to cast away foolish and harmful illusions, trying to turn enforcers of a monstrous system like Kamala Harris into some kind of heroes. Time to get with the RevCom Corps for the emancipation of humanity and actively work for the revolution that is urgently needed and is possible in this time we are living in now.
So all this underscores the urgency of what we are bringing you on this show every week, a show about making this revolution real in this time. So Annie, why don't you break down what we have in store on this episode today?
Well, as you said, Sansara, we're out there fighting to break people from the bullshit ways that this system has people thinking and acting. And we're going to bring you voices from on the ground in Chicago that have been struggling, in particular with black people, to stop hating on immigrants. As Bob Avakian says, this is nonsense and worse from people who should know better. We're also going to bring you Bob Avakian directly. He's a revolutionary leader. He's brought forward a new communism. And we're going to play a segment of an interview that we did here on this show where he speaks directly to those that this system forces to the bottom of society. society, what their actual revolutionary potential is. We're going to talk briefly about the horror that's happening in the West Bank, but we're also going to raise your sights and bring you a musical intervention and an announcement from the revolutionary future rock band Outer National.
And be sure to stick around after the show, because Annie is going to be joined by somebody else from the campaign to get Bob Avakian's leadership and his social media feed at Bob Avakian Official out throughout society. You guys are going to be doing a live talk back right here on our channel after this episode finishes. So we'll have details at the end of the show on how to connect with that.
So with that, let's get started.
Quit falling for their game of divide and conquer. Black people hating on immigrants. It's one of the worst things black people can do after the whole history and the experience black people have been through in this country. This is nonsense and worse for people who should know better. As the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian says and puts a challenge out to everyone. For any black people today who are caught up hating on immigrants, do you really want to sound like the rabid white racist from back in the day?
That's right.
Or do you want to put an end to this madness that you and immigrants have been put through at the hands of this system?
Instead of being played to hate on and fight against each other, all the people who are oppressed, exploited, misused, abused, tormented, and terrorized under this system, and all people who really care about justice, need to unite to rise up against and put an end to this system that is the cause of all this madness, injustice, and atrocity.
So you just saw some footage of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity in Chicago taking out Bob Avakian's social media dispatch number 73 called Black People Hating on Immigrants, Nonsense and Worse from People Who Should Know Better. And this social media dispatch from Bob Avakian and the work that the Rev Coms there are doing around it has kicked up quite a controversy in the south side of Chicago. Word is getting out. There's people who are digging it. There's people who are offended by it. And it's a good controversy, one that we want. And we are so excited to have three people who are in the midst of taking this out here on the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show today, to talk about their experience there, what they're learning, what they're transforming. Amina, Roosevelt, and Leo, welcome to the Revolution Nothing Less show.
Thank you.
All right. So, Amina, I want to start with you and just hear from you in terms of how do you see the importance of what Bob Avakian is putting before people with this challenge and the importance of taking it out across this country, but also in a place like the South Side of Chicago with such a concentration of Black people who really are in many ways catching a lot of the brunt of the oppression of this system?
Yeah, I mean, this has been extremely, extremely important. I think, you know, if you step back a minute, right, and I do actually feel like there's so much content in the dispatch itself that is worth for everybody to go back to. But it does actually situate this, you know, of like we're living in a time when it is possible to carry out a revolution that can put an end to this system and bring into being a radically different and much better system where the fundamental needs and the highest aspirations for an emancipating, uplifting way to live can become a reality. And that's true. That's real, you know, but there's a huge problem. You know, there's a huge problem when you have Black people, exactly how the title puts it, Black people hating on immigrants. And really, like, this cannot, you know, be the case where you have a whole section of people who, as again, the title goes on to, that who should know better, you know, who should know better. And this dispatch actually does walk people through a bit of the history of what it has meant to be Black in this country. Who should know? And that is where the who should know better, you know, the brunt of what America has done to Black people, to go up against a whole section of people who really, like, this country has been the principal, like, source of responsibility for, like, making it impossible for people to live in their own homelands. And so here you have two sections of people that are, like, literally at the bottom of, like, society that are, like, you know, that then are whipped up to go up against each other. And there is a real sharp need, and in this dispatch in particular makes a real sharp need as to, like, what kind of people are we going to be, you know? Are we going to be about, like, you know, getting the most crumbs that we're able to get from the, you know, from this system? Or are we going to be, like, emancipators of humanity and fight for a world where this doesn't have to be the case? And again, you know, we're never again will people be, like, pitted up against each other in a way that's, like, harmful and destructive, you know, and to go up against at a time when it is actually more possible, when a revolution is more possible to go up against, you know, this whole system and, you know, replace that with a fundamentally different system and everything that, you know, Bob Avakian work has been about and everything that's possible here of the unnecessariness of this imperialist system. That's what this dispatch is really, really like. You know, I think all of us have gotten a much deeper appreciation of just the power of what is concentrated in a very, like, 4-minute, like, audio message that is having waves of impact that I think we're both beginning to learn from and that needs to get further amplified.
You know, I want to play just a very sharp juxtaposition of questions that Bob Avakian poses in this dispatch.
So I have a question for any Black people today who are caught up in this hating on immigrants. Do you really want to be like the rabid white racists? Or do you want to put an end to this madness that you and the immigrants are being put through? It is this system that has put Black people through hell for centuries and is still putting Black people through hell.
Leo, this is a very sharp challenge. You guys have been taking it out. I know it's been controversial. Can you give a sense of the response out in the neighborhoods and other people who are hearing it?
Oh, boy, has it been controversial. I mean, we've been out just around the organizing center here in South Shore. And right off the bat, we're met with people who just one vehemently disagree. you know, black people aren't hating on immigrants. And then there's all this black people saying the worst kinds of things, you know, sounding like the KKK Southern segregationists and these rabid white racists, you know. And I mean, just some of the, you know, they don't belong here. They should go back to where they came from. You know, why this neighborhood, you know, and then there's the why not us, you know, why them, you know, why are you giving them these resources in it? You know, this bullshit of, you know, people being divided and pit against each other, you know, and going for themselves. And, you know, even black people saying, you know, well, we got to worry about us. You know, we've been at the bottom for so long, you know, we've suffered, you know, horribly. And it's now it's time for us to get ours, you know, and take it away from people who are getting something, you know. And even me, you know, just being like the center of attack of a lot of this, you know, oh, you're black, you should be on our side, you know. I'm a revolutionary communist. I'm, you know, standing with the people of the world who are oppressed and exploited horrifically under this system, you know, and fighting for a radically different system in the socialist, you know, society, you know. And, you know, look, you're going out to people with such lower sights, you know, and you're actually trying to break through, you know, and actually, you know, bring these people forward as emancipators of humanity.
Roosevelt, I wonder how you see this historically, the divide and conquer that Leo was talking about and how it's playing out today. What you want to add to the conversation?
First of all, thanks again for having us. Look, it pisses me off, you know, to an extent, you know, to a great extent. And I'm looking at the historic content. You see how the Irish immigrant was pitted against the slaves, you know, doing slavery. They became indentured servants. You know, somebody had to be in the top, you know, wanted to be better or feel better than that person, you know, than the black person, you know. And, you know, what VA brought out, you know, in that dispatch, you know, made me think about that as well, you know, with another appreciation again on, you know, what VA, you know, has put together. And when he spoke about the migration from the South during World War One, you know, what was that about, you know? And again, that was about blacks trying to find someplace better for themselves. You know, it's uncut. You know, on a whenever they moved, you know, on a throughout the city, throughout these states, especially in Chicago, I was there. You know, doing some of the migration, but during the later migration, where when a black person moved into the neighborhood, the white person would move out. You know, they would be hit with all kind of slurs and, you know, all kind of backlash, you know. And that, you know, is basically the same thing, you know, that the so-called immigrants, these, you know, are facing right now today. You know, I mean, it's a strange irony, you know, that there's a reversal of roles. You know, now we're feeling like, you know, now blacks are feeling like, man, well, we got to be better than them. They're taking up all our resources. This is the same crap that whites was saying to us. You know, no, I mean, every bit of it. They even formed, as my comrade Leo said, they even formed special groups. You know, is that what it's going to become to? I mean, is that what it's going to come to? You know, I mean, this is, you know, it's becoming a... It's a really hot topic, you know, one that need to be discussed, you know, to be fought over, you know, for us to be fighting over who's going to rule the bottom of that barrel, you know. I mean, that crab in the barrel effect. Who's going to control, you know, the best part of these crumbs, you know, that this oppressive capitalist imperialist system, you know, is dishing out to us, you know. Who's going to be, you know, the headmaster of this, of all of this? I mean, it's insane. It's really insane for a person or for people who have been dealt with so much, you know, to not appreciate when someone else is trying to elevate themselves and pick themselves up, you know, to move in the same line that they have, you know, without the backlash.
How do you see the importance of taking this backwardsness on, actually to any of you, taking this backwardsness on? What is being opened up? I mean, are we just out here saying, oh, it's great, we're showing how backwards all this is? Or is there some transformation and some potential that you see in this for revolution, for people to come forward into the ranks of the revolution, lift their sights and transform?
Well, the key is being re-educated about this, this entire process, this entire system, you know, and to recognize that there's only one leader. There's only one that's out there in society right now today. You know, there's only one real leader, Bob Avakian, that's pointing constantly the way over and over again, nonstop. The only leader that's been doing this, you know, all these other leaders is not doing that, you know, because they want to merge and become one with the same oppressive system. They want to be in line with oppressing one another. The same thing that the migrants is facing right now today that we faced many years ago, you know, it's part of being a part of that same exact system. You know, and Bob Avakian is trying to form a better way with the only scientific way, you know, to eradicate this system, you know, and to free him, to emancipate humanity, you know, like no other. So, I mean, that's my opinion. That's my
opinion. And Roosevelt. Oh, go ahead, Amina. Go ahead, Amina.
Oh, well, I was going to speak to your question. That, you know, I guess I put it two ways. One, I think, you know, the excerpt that you played, right, is really sharp. It does kind of, you know, just it's worth reiterating because we actually have been kind of putting this very sharply to everybody who's like provoked and struck by the title and does a double take. You know, we go like, you know, after it very sharply, we just pose the question, look, for any Black people today who are caught up on hating on immigrants, do you really want to be like the rabid white racist? Or do you want to put an end to this madness that you and the immigrants are being put through? And that's a very sharp challenge that actually does divide people out. Some people are like, well, if Trump will back this, then I'm for that. You know, I'm for that whole program. But a lot of people or handfuls of people, including through the waging of that struggle, you know, have been like, what, have even appreciated the title and said, it's absolutely true. This is absolutely happening. Whether it's their family members that are going through this, you know, even yesterday, someone was like, oh, this is a very intense topic, you know, that's actually dividing a lot of people up, you know, and people are sharply challenged, you know, we're like, really, the content of what's in here, of instead of being played to hate and fight against each other, all the people who are oppressed, exploited, misused, and abused and tormented, and the rest of that sentence that I won't finish reading, but that people should go to watch to hear the full dispatch. Really, like people kind of jolting out of like their paralysis of like, I have to choose between one or another, and actually, no, I have to be about, you know, we have to come together and unite. And there actually has been a very broad sentiment, a very deep sentiment of like, man, we got to stop this, you know, hating amongst each other. And we got to go up against their system, you know, and really the simplicity of like, we don't have to live this way. We need a revolution. And that actually has changed the dynamics, you know, including having people on the spot feeling like, oh, I have to both read the whole flyer. That's like number one criteria. You should read the content, but actually read the whole flyer. But then also feeling like I need to find out more, you know, and actually having people on the spot subscribe to, you know, the various different, you know, avenues of social media and really kind of getting connected with an organization, the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. And that has been the way of cleaving it by way of actually drawing, very sharply cleaving it by way of actually drawing forward people who, you know, through the course of this discussion are sorting themselves out and are saying, no, I'm with this. You know, I think this type of discussion matters, you know, and I think this needs to happen.
So my final question for any of you is what lessons are you drawing from this, and how do you see the potential of Bob Avakian's social media, his ongoing leadership at Bob Avakian Official, both on this particular hot controversial topic, but in an ongoing way, what are the broader lessons you would draw from this in this time? Amina, you want to speak to that?
You know, this question of repolarizing all of society, you know, again, at a time of just enormous instability, like, you know, here we're and the like 2 months away from a not normal election, you know, and everything is coming up for grabs and everybody, you know, I just, you know, the whole society is like, you know, right beneath the surface is, and sometimes more than right beneath the surface is convulsing and like you in like getting to ready to erupt in a more metaphorical sense, but, you know, also in a literal sense. And I think, you know, what we have begun to experience, you know, with going out very sharply with and trying to cleave the discussion in a way that's actually, you know, fighting for emancipation. You know, I think this has been just, you go into the very, you know, not calm waters and you really try to cleave that open, you know, excuse my metaphors, but you really try to cleave that open in a way in which you're really fighting with people like, no, this is our moment. This is our shot. We got to go. And we got to like, we got to break the hold of this system. You know, we need a revolution and there's leadership for that revolution that you need to engage, that you need to get into, that you need to take up. And, you know, I mean, this is one of like 81 dispatches that are on the social media account, you know, which anybody like going and scrolling through the whole of it is just going to be a lot, you know, a transformative process of, again, you know, what is our life going to be about, you know, and really like at a time to grab hold of like the possibility of like actually overthrowing the system. That is what the guidance in these dispatches are actually doing. And it's going at all sorts of different questions that are just hanging people back, you know, whether it be the Democratic Party, whether it be, you know, the question on the role of women, whether, you know, it be the question of the environment. Like, it just really is this. It is so true. You know, Baba Bacon is unlike all the endless stream of bourgeois politicians. And this is why, you know, people got to follow his account. People got to go dig into it, got to take this up. And we really got to, you know, make history. And I think this is the guidance that's actually being driven. This is, you know, the leading edge of our strategy right now. And I think the more and more we're like, we're stepping out on a daily basis, the more and more there's a deep appreciation of just what difference it actually could make. And there's millions and tens of millions of people engaging the content of this and acting on it. And I think that's one, you know, kind of macro lesson that I would extract. But obviously, you know, there's a lot of richness and texture to all of, you know, kind of even in a week span, you know, kind of what we've been deepening.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank all of you for making the time, most of all for getting out in the streets, spreading this from Baba Bacon and taking the time to talk with us. I want to give a shout out to the studio audience I know is gathered with you in the Revolution Core, RevCom Core's Organizing Center in the South Shore of Chicago. I know you guys are getting ready to go back out into the neighborhood after this. So go and I hope you continue to stir things up there and carry forward this revolution.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having us on.
All right. Take care. We want to move now to share a portion of the interview that we did here on this show with Baba Bacon 2 years ago. In this portion, we ask him to speak directly to those who catch the hardest hell under this system, those who are trapped at the bottom. How does he see their role in this revolution that is so urgently needed? Well, you've led us right back to something we wanted to return to before wrapping up this interview, which is the tremendous potential that it's clear you see in those at the very bottom of society. Youth in particular, at the base of society, caught up catching the worst hell, the youth and others in the prisons, which you said the brother on the block or on the street, people who right now their guns are pointed at each other to way too large a degree. All of the vision of what you've described of what's possible to do with state power is not going to happen if we don't make a revolution. And yet this is a section of people who are very critical to the revolution we need. So I wanted to give you, and we wanted to give you one further opportunity to speak directly to those who are catching the worst hell and treated as the worst of the worst. What is their role in this revolution? And to those going out to them, how should we do this?
Well, I say there's both a personal dimension to this and a larger scientific dimension to it. I know that things have gone on for generations now. I mean, I know some people told us, well, you can't bring forward these youth. They might have been revolutionary once back in the day of the Black Panther Party or what, the 1960s. But there's been generation after generation caught up in this bad now, so there's no potential anymore. Yes, there is potential. And in one sense, it's exactly because they have been caught up in it generation after generation that there is potential. But you're not going to see it if you're just looking on the surface and what people are into. You have to go a little deeper with people. And I'll just introduce a personal dimension to this, which is very real for me. When I see, you know, and whenever I get a chance to interact, and I do sometimes with some of these youth you're talking about, I see people that I knew when I was coming up. Not that I was came out of the same place they did, but people that I knew, you know, and I know what their potential was. You know, I've talked about this before, I've written about it before. You know, I had a friend, Billy, who was got into the life and got killed, you know, while he's still in his 20s, caught up in a lot of bad shit, did bad but also had a whole other side to him. Had a curious mind, a sharp mind, you know, had a lot of very good, you know, sentiments toward people, ways of relating to people. And, you know, you could not have told me that somebody like that couldn't be transformed to become a revolutionary because I knew better. And that's just a personal, and I knew other people in the same situation. I'm very fortunate to know people in this situation, you know. People who opened their hearts to me the same way I did with them, you know, that's what it means to be friends. And you learn what's deeper beneath the surface of what's going on and why people are into the bad they're in. And, you know, how constricted, how limited and confined their lives are and their choices are, you know, in terms of how things are presented to them. And so that's like, on the basis of that personal experience, I don't care that generations have gone, I mean, I care, but it doesn't tell me because generations have gone on that these aren't basically the same people. They are the same people, you know, and when I interact with them, whenever I get a chance, and it's far too rare, but it's very precious, I know they're the same people. So that's on, like on the personal level from personal experience, but more scientifically, you can analyze where do the actual interests of these youth lie? You know, look, I've spoken this before. Look what it means when even for a brief time, people in this situation rise above this. And I mentioned this prisoner strike in Alabama, and people are talking about how they've overcome the divisions of gangs and cliques and this kind of thing. You know, it's not going to last because of the conditions they're in. But it's very significant and precious when it happens. Or, you know, I've made this point about the truces that followed, you know, the gang truces that followed the 1992, you know, L.A. rebellion, which really wasn't just L.A. rebellion. It spread around the country. And, you know, how hard people tried to overcome generations of divisions and back and forth revenge. You know, I mean, to me, one of the most inspiring and moving things I've seen in decades was the picture after the L.A. rebellion, you know, besides, you know, blacks and Mexicans tonight, together tonight with graffiti. You know, there is a picture of a Blood and a Crip with their arms around each other. And that wasn't just for show. That was something real and something deep. And they really tried to overcome this, and they put forward a program, but their program was just a program that had no basis. And it was also just actually mirroring this existing system. It was a program to establish more black businesses to enable some of these people caught up in the gangs to get into, you know, the economy by way of business and so on. And there's no material, there's no economic basis for that on a broad scale. And it wouldn't lead to the liberation of people either, because, you know, a few people might get into business, but then, you know, most people can't. And plus, the ones who do are going to be employing other people and exploiting them, whether they mean to or not. You know, but still, look how hard people tried. And there was a prisoner, you know, strike in California a number of years ago. The same kind of thing. Yeah, the gangs are still in there. Yeah, there's bad shit, but they rose up and overcame that for a short period of time. And that shows the potential. And it also shows that there's something deeper in people than what they're doing every day and what they're caught up in. That they you know, reach for something better, something higher. They want something different, you know. And if you get people away from what they're caught up in, and talk to them heart to heart, they will tell you. In many cases, most people want something different, even if they're caught up in this and they don't know how to get out of it. And that's where we come in, the revolutionaries, the people who have come to understand that there's a whole different way. We have to go to these youth and others. Yes, we need to go to the educated youth. You're not going to make a revolution without people from the educated youth. That's very important for the revolution, including critical and creatively thinking people who have a capacity to, you know, work and grapple with complicated ideas. We need that. But your question is very much to the point about, you know, these more, you know, youth down on the street, you know, the hardcore youth, you know, there is burning within them, because nobody wants to live the way these youth are being forced to live. You could take all of, maybe a few, you know, really into it, you know, and that this is really their thing, but nobody, if you're talking about, I shouldn't say nobody, but overwhelmingly, people don't want to live the way people we're talking about are forced to live. But this system, we could go into why and how. You know, it deindustrialized a lot, you know, all these areas that people live in, you know, like the south side of Chicago used to be these factories and gigantic steel plant, U.S. Steel, that people used to work at. Gary, Indiana, which is now a ghost town, had the biggest steel plant in the entire world, I think, going back a few decades. And a lot of black people work there. Those places are closed down. These youth coming up, they have no future. And that's because of the workings of this system. And there is a burning down there. It may be simmering. It may be just a flickering flame, but there is a burning for something better. And it is up to us to provide the vehicle and the means for all these masses of people in this situation, including these youth, to become part of fighting for something better. And yes, it goes back to the previous thing. We're not going to do it without a lot of struggle. You got to break through the surface. You got to break through the bullshit. You got to break through even the hardcore shit to get down to where people really live and feel. And then you got to struggle with them about what your life should really be all about. What is really worth dedicating your, and if necessary, even giving your life to? Not that we take that lightly. We certainly don't. You know, we understand that, you know, as Mao said, of all things in the world, people are most precious. And people's lives are precious to us. But even if you have to give your life, give it for something worthwhile, something that's going to mean something for you and people like you all over the world and for the little ones. And don't tell me you don't love the little ones. I see you out there pushing the little ones around. I see the pride that you have in the little ones. So don't tell me you don't care, because I know different and I know better. And there is a way, but we got to give people the way. And that means a tremendous amount of struggle. It's not just handing them away and they're going to take it. It's a tremendous amount of struggle. You know, and we have to also, especially in this rare time when revolution becomes more possible, we have to get right down on the ground with them and explain in terms they can understand, and then get in more into the complexities as we go along. But get to the basic thing, that there is a way out of all this. And right now we have more opportunity than we've had in your lifetime or my lifetime to do this. And we can't afford to be wasting this time and this opportunity in bullshit We got to get with this revolution so we can get all this shit off of our backs and make a future for the next little kids you're pushing along that's worth living for, so they don't have to go through what you are going through now, which isn't what you wanted to go through, but it's what the system has put you in the place of to have to go through. We have to go and present this to them in a living way. There is a way out of this. It's not an easy way. It's not a guaranteed way, but it's a real way. It's a real possibility, especially in this time when we're talking about where the conditions are more favorable for revolution, even as they're tending right now towards something terrible, with the ruling class divided and fighting each other, with society being ripped apart, with the potential for this to rip apart all the dominant institutions in society. You know, one of these youths said, well, you know, if I get with your revolution, my chances of being taken out are just about 100%. But if I do what I'm doing, going up against people like me, maybe my chances are 50-50. Well, that's just wrong, like I've said before. You know, it's wrong in terms of what your life should be about, and it's wrong in terms of, you know, the possibilities for revolution. Because we have a real strategy, and we have a real, you know, method to grapple with the problems that lie on the road to revolution and actually break through and gather more and more forces to where a revolutionary struggle for power could actually have a chance to win. And you can't ask for more than that. You can't ask for more than a chance to win to get this whole f***ing thing off your back. And this is what we're aiming for, and this is what we got to take to people and explain to them and struggle like hell with them about what speaks to their deeper feelings and hopes and aspirations, not just the shit they're caught up in on the surface. So I say, both from personal experience, which is limited, I know, but it tells me something, but also by scientific analysis and by learning from all different kinds of sources and getting every bit of knowledge I can, that there is a potential there. And we have to go and make that potential become a reality and make the struggle with people to become emancipators of humanity. And we start winning some, it's going to provide the basis to win more. And it's going to become a pole of attraction. And what people would really like to jump to will start getting expressed when they see a growing force out there that's real. And so this is my answer. We got to, you know, we have what these youth and the mass of people need, but it includes a lot of struggle with them, and we have to go and take that to them and wage that struggle, because this is for ending all the shit that they're being forced to go through and all the shit that humanity is being put through and that they're threatened with now, with the destruction of the environment and this danger of nuclear war among these imperialists. We have to go to the people and give them the means to do what deep down they would love to do if they could understand scientifically that there's a basis for it. So that's what I would say.
If you have allowed the Israeli slaughter of the Palestinian people to become background noise, wake the f*** up. This is a genocide. It is happening before the eyes of the whole world. It is funded and armed by the U.S., and it is intensifying by the day. Not only has Israel continued to bomb Gaza back to the Dark Ages, with American-bought bombs murdering over 40 people just in the last 24 hours, including a prominent doctor, but in the West Bank, Israel has bulldozed 70% of the roads in the city of Jenin. Think about that. How are people supposed to get anywhere? How are they supposed to travel to and from the hospitals amid the sniper fire and the destruction? Israel's destroyed the sewage systems, the internet access, and 80% of the water system. People can't get food, they can't get water, and that's just in Jenin. Last week, Israel launched a ferocious and a deadly rampage in two other cities in the occupied West Bank, which is home to over 3 million Palestinians.
Hundreds of Israeli soldiers in columns of armored vehicles and bulldozers backed by drones and warplanes have killed at least 33 people in the West Bank, including 7 children. Israel is ordering mass evacuations from areas that it is shooting and then shooting many of those who attempt to flee. They are targeting journalists. They are targeting children. In Tukaram, snipers killed a 14-year-old boy walking with his father. They shot him in the neck from a distance, and he was unarmed. His father was shot in the waist. Dozens and dozens of Palestinians have been arrested, subjected to torture and indefinite detention. Israel is destroying the basic ability for people to survive, attempting to purge Palestinian people from the land entirely. And despite the gentle finger wags and the tis tis tisks coming from genocide Joe Biden and war crimes backing Kamala Harris, the arms and the financial support to Israel has not stopped flowing. In her first interview since she was anointed Democratic nominee for president, Vice President Kamala Harris made her position very clear.
Let me be very clear. I'm unequivocal and unwavering in my commitment to Israel's defense and its ability to defend itself. And that's not going to change. But let's take a step back. October 7, 1,200 people were massacred. Many young people who were simply attending a music festival. Women were horribly raped. As I said then, I say today, Israel had a right, has a right to defend itself, we would. And how it does so matters. Far too many innocent Palestinians have been killed. And we have got to get a deal done. We were in Doha. We have to get a deal done. This war must end.
But no change in policy in terms of arms and so forth.
No, we have to get a deal done.
So let's dispense with Kamala's bull. This is not a war. It is genocidal ethnic cleansing. And when she says Israel's right to defend itself, what she means is free license to carry out this genocidal ethnic cleansing. Since early in Israel's genocidal response to October 7th, it is Israel that has stonewalled a ceasefire, while the U.S. provides billions after billions of dollars for bombs and missiles and diplomatic cover for Israel by blaming Hamas for lack of ceasefire progress. Look, the situation in Palestine did not begin on October 7th. It began in 1948 with the Nakba, Israel's terrorist ethnic cleansing of Palestine, and Israeli violence has continued ever since to defend an apartheid state built literally on the blood and the bones and the land of the Palestinian people. Listen to what Kamala Harris is telling you.
No change in policy in terms of arms and so forth.
No, we have to get a deal done.
No change in the handoff from genocide Joe to war crimes Kamala. No change in the bombs, the missiles, the drones in Gaza and the West Bank. No change in the never-ending diplomatic whitewash. No change in the dehumanization and enabling genocide against the Palestinian people. Wake the f*** up. Act to stop this and confront the reality. This is the cold truth, the liberating truth behind what Bob Avakian says in his recent dispatch, Revolution Number 79.
The price for supporting the Democrats is to become complicit in their backing of Israel in its genocidal slaughter of Palestinians and the other monstrous crimes continually perpetrated by this system. A price that no decent person should be willing to pay. Enlisting in the cause of the Democratic Party is enlisting as willing accomplices in the crusade of U.S. capitalism imperialism to remain the world's number one exploiter, oppressor, and plunderer of people and the environment, even at the cost of risking the future and the very existence of humanity. There has to be a better way, and there is. Revolution to overthrow this truly monstrous system of capitalism imperialism and bring into being a fundamentally different and much better system and way of life in the interest of humanity as a whole.
All right, so we just heard Bob Avakian once again telling it like it is and lifting people's sights to the real revolution that is possible in this time. And this underscores the importance of the campaign that we are fighting to break out in society right now to make Bob Avakian's voice, his ongoing revolutionary leadership, and his social media at Bob Avakian Official known throughout society, listened to, engaged, and debated by millions, followed actively by thousands, many thousands who are taking it up as active leadership, getting organized into the ranks of the revolution to make this revolution real. We want to take just a moment to talk about this campaign a little bit more.
You opened the show today talking about what is what we're facing, the fact that the whole society could come up for grabs soon. And we're facing a situation where it could be a nightmare on top of a nightmare, or there's the actual potential, a real opening in this country to overthrow this whole system. The most important thing in being able to seize that opening is to impact society with Bob Avakian's voice, with his leadership that he's providing, you know, constantly and consistently through his social media at Bob Avakian Official, impacting millions, shaking people awake, getting them out of the bullshit ways that this system has people thinking and acting like we heard about on the ground in Chicago, and bringing forward and training the thousands now who need to be leading this revolution. Amina talked about this earlier as well. So that's what this campaign is aimed at doing, is aimed at raising funds so that we can do online advertising to reach way beyond what we can reach now. And what we've begun to do has had an impact. I talked about that last week. You can, you know, read more about that on revcom.us, but it's still very small compared to what's needed. So that means going to fight with people about where they're putting their funds. It means going to fight with people about what are they putting on their social media. Are they just curating their lifestyle, or are they going to use whatever platform they have to spread Bob Avakian's voice, exactly, to tell it like it is and to raise people's sights and to point them to the kind of revolution we need in this situation. It does mean struggling with people very hard, and you know, and then opening our arms really wide to people who aren't sure what they think, but want to see this voice out there contending. And I think what you see on the ground in Chicago right now is exactly why this campaign needs to spread even further. Because when Bob Avakian's voice is impacting people, it sets the right terms: reform versus revolution, getting in on this system versus getting rid of this system and overthrowing it for real. So over these next days, people are going to be geared up for this major, actually what is going to be a high stakes debate between MAGA fascist Trump and war crimes Kamala, but not high stakes in the way they mean. And they're going to be training people in all kinds of all exactly on the terms of this system. Oh, who's going to be the best for America? You know, like, with, like, you know, acting like it's a normal election when just the opposite is true, right? So we want to cut through that with the actual truth. There's a new social media dispatch from Bob Avakian, Revolution Number 81, Why I Am Not Running for President. Go listen at Bob Avakian Official. We want to make a big deal out of that, you know, as much as we can. Posters on the walls, passing it out hand to hand, playing it from loud ass cars and sound trucks, and then raising funds so that we can advertise this in the midst of all the online chatter Tuesday night while the debate is running. If you want to sign up, go to revcom.us. We're going to form a national team of social media warriors that are going to go contend in all the social media platforms and cut through the noise and the bullshit and the confusion that's spread by the proponents of this system. And, you know, so that's what there's, you know, we need to have a big impact right now. We need to fight for this right now, urgently. Really, it is a matter of the future.
Yeah. So to conclude today's show, and that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show, I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And with that, we want to join Outer National in welcoming you to the revolution.
with my head held high. I too have known the feeling of fear, my favorite question being why. Words of the wise.